Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Blood River Radio family, hope you're not confused tonight. Let me tell you briefly what happened. Miss Monica has been out for about 3 weeks. She may try to come back next week, although next week we're going to try to start a 2 week in a row. It's probably going to take us two shows to do our Charlottesville Memorial thing, because we have a lot of people to bring on. After it's 5 years, it'll be the 5th year anniversary, so we're bringing a lot of people on there. But my little sister Monica was out. She's out. Jean and Ren went down to Selma. They're down there with James Edwards and a bunch of other guys. They went down there to this General Forrest, Nathan Bedford Forrest Memorial and things like that. And they're probably going to call in next week. It'll be, even though it will be our Charlottesville Memorial, five-year memorial show, they're going to report that. That Gene and Rand can tell you what all they found out about down there. But anyway, we're going to go right back. I hope you remember what we said we're going to talk about this hour. We're bringing Nancy, my big sister Nancy. She's just like Cameron said, she's full of knowledge. And she's going to bring in some stuff we're going to talk. Well, I'll let her tell you. Go ahead and kind of refresh their memory again, Miss Nancy, since we went to a kind of a long break. What we're going to be talking about?
Okay. What we're going to talk about is actually anti-white self-hatred, anti-white bias that's always shown by the media and the courts. And we started talking, I think, when I talking about this program, I was saying that I had been involved in a protest in Knoxville that was a pro-white protest, actually about a heinous, horrible crime that was committed January the 6th of 2007 involving a beautiful white couple, Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom, who were abducted by at least 3 to 4 black men and a black woman. There was nothing that wasn't done to them, from mutilation to being burned to being repeatedly raped, and ultimately both of these young people were killed after they were carjacked. What we were protesting in 2007 was the fact that this was not considered a hate crime. I don't know what it could have been, but that's what I think most people thought it was. So there was a protest, I think it was June of 2007, in which I observed. I did not really get involved in a protest. I was kind of taking pictures. I was present when they got together to protest, but I didn't go into the protest itself. I wanted to see what was going on with the police. I took a lot of photographs of hundreds and hundreds of cops. The whole town was locked down. There were cops with batons. There were cops taking photographs of about 40, not more than 40 or 45 white protesters. There were men on, there were police in unmarked jumpsuits. There were police dogs. There were bikes. There's something I call a tank. That's not really what it was, but it's another device for protecting themselves from protesters. Dr. Ed Fields was a speaker, and mainly what they were trying to get at was to protest the fact that this was not considered a hate crime, in which all of the victims, two victims were white, and all of the criminals or savages were black. What was interesting on that day, in which I have sent some photographs to you, Eddie, they were having a white, mainly white, anti-protest going on at the same time as the pro-white protesters were protesting. They were, you know, telling the whites to go home, that that was racism. And what was interesting, when I did some research, thinking that maybe that protest I attended, I knew there had been another protest. A previous protest organizer had been arrested. Well, when I went on YouTube, which people can do, and you can go and find out about these Knoxville protests, there were at least two preceding protests to the one that I attended and took photographs of. And it was really obnoxious. The whites, of course, were out in mass, and a couple of the men were jumping around in bras and tutus. These are the kind of people who hate themselves, hate white people, anybody who stands up against the blacks. I mean, this is actually, this crime, this horrendous crime, should be daily news, and it should have been national, European news, I mean, worldwide news of what had happened. But no, again, these were only simple white people that got brutally killed and raped and burned and maybe mutilated, and they don't really count too much. They don't count too much by the liberal Jew control media, the journalists who are controlled, the politicians who are paid off. Nobody really cares too much about these poor victims. The whites are into self-hatred, basically. They just want to hate themselves. But I have some other issues to bring up, and I don't know, Eddie, you might
Ms.
have.
Nancy,
I'm sure you know all about this terrible crime.
I would like
that
to chime
in
on that. Yes, I do. I'd like to chime in and tell people some of the things that were done. And if you've got any children around, you might want to get them away from the microphone. Because I'm going to tell you in graphic detail what was done to these precious white kids. They were both about college age. They were girlfriend, boyfriend, you know. And they have gone to an apartment complex up there where they came out. They got kidnapped by these savage black animals. And they were carried, abducted and carried over to an empty house near some railroad tracks. And here's some of the things that were done to them. They not only raped the girl, they raped the man. They sodomized him with objects like 2x4s, things like that, real nice things like that. Can you imagine what it would feel like to have a 2x4 stuck up your anus? They did it. They made sure that the girlfriend could see everything. They beat him. They shot him. They cut him. And then, you know, they tried to set him on fire to get rid of the evidence. I mean, how stupid can you get? I mean, that's I guess calling the black stupid is kind of like, you know, redundant. But the girl, they did pretty much the same to her in spades. They poured gasoline down her throat. They chopped them up with knives or machetes, whatever it was. They cut them up to pieces. They poured, like I've mentioned, stuff like Drano down her throat. They gouged her eyes out. They tried to inflict as much pain on these two precious white people as they possibly could. They took the girl. She was, mercifully, I think they finally shot Christian Newsom in the back of the head and killed him, finally. That was the best thing that happened to him. They chopped her up. Put her in a garbage bag, just like sewage. She could have probably smothered to death. But I just can't imagine that. And people hear something else right here. This isn't a one-time happening. That happens every day in South Africa. Every stinking day,
absolutely,
these blacks attack
absolutely
white people. And Miss Nancy, you're absolutely right. These white self-haters, they don't just hate themselves. They hate us. And you know what? They don't know what hate is. I wish I despised those people. I mean, they're just full of, I'm getting carried away, Miss Nancy. I'm going to go back
right
to you.
Well, you're absolutely right, because having lived briefly in South Africa before the freedom for the blacks, as you might say, the blacks had a better standard of living in the Republic of South Africa than they probably did, I think, really, than they did in any other African nation. I think they had more car ownership. there were millionaires that lived in Soweto, and of course all of this stuff is covered up. All of the facts are covered up. You know, now they have a big celebration for Mandela. Mandela was nothing but a leftist, and he was an actual terrorist. Of course, today white people living on these isolated farms in South Africa, they're in jeopardy probably every day when they try to do their farming. They've got to have fences, electric fences. They got to have dogs. Nothing can protect them from these people. It's just this is what we have to look forward to, the way America is going. If we can't get these people under control, which I unfortunately don't have a lot of faith that we'll be able to get them under control, not with our leftist liberal thinking and the political do-nothings. I was involved in something in 1981 that I wanted to mention. It was very unusual in Louisville at the time. You're talking about a long time ago. In 1981, we had something similar happen in Louisville. A young female, 20 years old, white female.
Stacey, we'll be going to a break in just a second. I'm just going to warn you, any minute we'll be going to a break, but okay. Continue on.
Well, anyway, I'll continue with what happened to her. It was very similar to what happened to this other white couple.
There we go, Miss Nancy. There's the music. We're going to a break. Save that thought, and we'll continue as soon as we come back from the break. People, hold on to your seats. We'll be right back. Miss Nancy's going to continue on after this short break.
Treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
God bless you people, dear Blood River Radio family. We've got Mr. Buddy on the line, and we got Miss Nancy Hitt, two of the best people in the world. Their knowledge that they have is just unsurpassed anywhere. They're like walking encyclopedias. But anyway, what we're going to do, we're going to let Miss Nancy tell you about this horrific story, and Mr. Buddy, too, he's going to come in and tell you some stories, too, because they're talking about anti-white bias in the news, in the universities, in the banking system, in the high schools, in the Congress of the United States, everywhere, and they're these stupid, self-hating white liberals here in the United States, how they hate themselves, and it's all this anti-white bias. And you know what? And it's promoted by white people. But anyway, I'm going to shut up. Go back to you, Mr. Nancy.
Yeah, okay. On January the 7th of 1981, a young white female was working at night by herself at the Checker gas station here in Louisville. Three local Negroes entered the station. They took her into the bathroom where they raped her, sodomized her, they robbed her, and they took her in her mother's car to another location not too far away where she was shot and killed. I organized a petition drive to get the death penalty for all three of these villains. Now, going back and doing my research, I found that they were all juveniles. They really lived right across the street from the gas station, so they were pretty wise as to who was there and who was working. The petition I drew up, I sent it to the White House and all over, governors, because of people, even in Louisville, this was a very rare occurrence. And the people in Louisville were pretty outraged. The jury did recommend a death sentence for at least the one who supposedly shot her. But let me tell you what happened. He sat on Kevin Stanford sat on death row for 30-some years until he became a Christian. Yes. And our former Kentucky Governor Patton gave him a reprieve in 2003. So he got life in prison. But the reason that I am very up on what is going on now is in 2021, they are trying to get this savage released. And I was able to speak with the victim's sister, who's still in this area, and she is still concerned that maybe their lives may still be in jeopardy from if he ever gets free. Now, the woman who was killed was only 20. She was a young mother, and her child ended up being raised, I think, by this sister who I spoke to. I've been looking to speak to her for years. I never could find out how to contact her. And only because last year they started talking about how they were going to get Kevin Stanford out of prison, I was able to find her and speak with her and tell her I was the one that created this this petition. Well, one of the blacks ended up in juvenile. I think he probably didn't do much time. And the other black, who was, I guess, older, he ended up, I think he died in prison. But here's what I just uncovered and told you happened. I went through my file, and guess what I found? 400 signatures on a petition were created by an untold number of Christian, self-hating whites that they did not want these people to get the death penalty.
That is so pathetic. That is absolutely pathetic. You know, Ms. Nancy, you mentioned talking about these self-hating, these insane people. And you mentioned you alluded to South Africa and how people, you know, in South Africa. Incidentally, you know, you also mentioned Nelson Mandela. His wife is the one who created the song "The Necklace." She said, "We'll go around necklacing people." The necklace was what they would do when, and this is going to relate to what you just got through talking about. These brutal, feral blacks would take a tire and they would cut it in two. We used to use those. My grandparents used to use them to put water in them and feed the chickens out in the country. But they would tie whites and their fellow blacks that they thought were sellouts, tie these tires around their neck. Fill it up with petrol, diesel fuel, gasoline, whatever, tie their hands behind them, and they would set it on fire. Right. Well, you know what happens when that rubber burns? You're talking about, you cannot imagine the misery. Winnie Mandela made a song about that. She said, we go forth with our necklaces and our matches, creating what we want in the world. Well, these people in South Africa, these people, the self-hating South Africa that live in these walled-in communities, and I'm going to get off this quick. We have areas, rich areas here in Memphis. I was telling Dr. Hill about it. They have their own private police force. They have their high gates. But you know what? When it gets so bad, it's going to come a time where their police force is going to desert them, and they can't stay behind those walls forever. They're going to have to come out and get some food and groceries and stuff like that. And that's when I hope to live. I hope I see them just get ravished because I can't stand them. Anyway, back to you, Miss Nancy. You can continue on and bring Mr. Buddy in when you get ready.
Well, briefly, I'm just going to say that we can go back to this after Buddy talks about the McMichaels. But in 2000,
sure,
there was the horrible Wichita massacre of there were five whites who were, they were all shot. It's a long story, by two blacks. Four of them died. One lady did survive. And then I think Buddy wants to talk about the outrageous treatment that the McMichaels received trying to defend themselves, really,
yes,
from a black attack in Georgia.
Well, you know, Mr. Buddy sent me that article about the Wichita Massacre quite some time ago, so I know he's well-versed on how that went, too. So, Mr. Buddy, you go ahead and take off. You can talk about the Wichita Massacre or the McMichaels. And people, all this ties in together for a common outcome that Miss Nancy's been talking about. So go ahead, Mr. Buddy, whenever you're ready.
Okay, Eddie. I have opened my file quite a bit on the Wichita situation, but let me just point out a few of the facts for your audience to understand what we're really up against. These two black savages there in Wichita invaded this house where there were five college students up there on a little social gathering. They held them at gunpoint, the usual raping and all this, that, and the other. And the blacks even took one of the white boys, went out and made him buy some sandwiches for him, and the blacks came out and had a feast while they were still raping the girls in the apartment. Well, when they got through it, this took place over quite a few hours, and it was in December. I forget the exact year. But when the savages got through with their depredations and savagery in the apartment, they took all five of these students. They were college students. They drove out into the county, had them go out into a snow-covered field. Like I said, it was in December. Made every one of them take their clothes off, got down on their knees, and shot all of them in the head. And the savages took off. One of the girls did survive, and she was able to crawl about a quarter of a mile in the snow sometime later. And eventually, the Carr brothers, it was two brothers, mm-hmm, it looked like they had just climbed out of the trees to me. They got arrested. No hate crime. They're still sitting up there in jail watching TV and eating three meals a day. For that kind of savage, it's on a great parallel of what Nancy was talking about with that brutality chapter there in Knoxville. But your audience needs to realize we are up, when I say we, I'm talking about white people. We are up against this every day in this country. And most of these savage crimes, all this brutality, in many cases never makes it out of local news. Now, if you
kill... Mr. Buddy, we have to go to a break. We have to go to a quick commercial, Mr. Buddy. We'll be right back. We'll go right back to you as soon as we get through this commercial break. People, hold on, or we'll be right back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
For the second time in as many weeks, President Biden has tested positive for COVID-19. He just left isolation this week following a first positive test and his antiviral treatment. The White House says it is a rare rebound case and that the president has experienced no reemergence of symptoms and continues to feel quite well. Biden will re-enter isolation for at least 5 days. State senators in Indiana approve a near-total ban on abortion by a single vote in a rare Saturday session. The bill includes an exception for rape and incest cases if the pregnancy is less than 8 weeks post-fertilization or 12 weeks if the person is younger than 16 years old. A notarized affidavit attesting to the attack would be required in either instance. The legislation now moves to the State House. This is USA Radio News.
Guys, what's the first thing you notice when you look at a photo of yourself? If you said your receding hairline or bald spot, Keeps can help you change that. Keeps has clinically proven FDA-approved hair treatments available online. Whether you're looking to prevent hair loss, stimulate hair growth, or take care of the hair you have, your Keeps physician will help you select the right products and develop a personalized hair-saving routine that works for you. It's easy. No waiting rooms or pharmacy visits. Keeps is delivered straight to your door at about half the cost. Half the cost. And if you have questions, you can message your Keeps doctor 24/7. If those balding jokes are wearing thin, join thousands of guys who have saved their hair. Visit Keeps.com/Doug Steffen for 50% off your first order. That's KEEPS.com/Doug Steffen. Keeps.com/Doug Steffen.
Residents in eastern Kentucky are continuing to clean up after devastating flooding. As of Saturday morning, at least 25 people, including 4 children, were killed after storms left at least 8 inches of rain over a 48-hour period. Governor Andy Beshear says search and rescue missions are continuing. He's warning people that the number of victims could increase.
From everything we've seen, we may be updating the count of how many we lost for the next several weeks.
President Biden made a disaster declaration that allows more than a dozen Kentucky counties to receive federal disaster relief. After warning House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to stay away from Taiwan, China's ruling Communist Party announced it was conducting what it called live fire exercises opposite the Taiwanese coast. Beijing has long claimed the island democracy as part of its territory. The one-sentence announcement gave no indication whether the exercise might include missiles, fighter planes, or other weapons. Pelosi has not confirmed whether she would go to Taiwan. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Hello, dear Blood River Radio family. We're at the bottom of the hour, the second hour, and we're going to go right back to Mr. Buddy, and we're going to continue to give you these news breaks, and we're going to get, these things that happen to our people, and we're going to give you some very salient advice when we get through. It has to do with don't hold out false hope if this ever happens to you. Anyway, we're going right back to you, Mr. Buddy. Continue on.
Okay. Well, on the Wichita thing, I can't help but feel, according to a lot of past court cases, a few years, they'll probably let them out or something. But, you know, as I said, things like that. Now, that one did make local news for a few days. But if you kill a black person, that becomes a national issue for weeks and weeks and weeks as they crucify the white person. And just think back of all these things. How about a lot of people, if they're old enough, and you say, well, do you remember the James Byrd case down in Texas? Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Right.
That was a case where a couple of white guys and James Byrd, a black guy, they were out on a drinking spree together, and they got drunk as Cootie Brown. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in there, they tied the black guy to the back of the pickup truck and started driving around kind of slow, but eventually fell, and they drug him, and he eventually died. Okay, I know at least one of the white guys has already been put to death. And I think the second one has because he was next in line. But that was national news for weeks and weeks and weeks. Now, almost that same time, Eddie, a similar thing took place right there in the shadow of where you are. Out at Cuyahoga, Tennessee, on Highway 72, right there in town. Yes. At 11:30 one morning, a 65-year-old white lady, Mrs. Barbara Edwards, pulled into the Sonic for some service. There were two black boys leaning against the wall of the thing and ran right out and carjacked her. They drove her across the county line into Fayette County, stole her purse, threw her out of the car, drove over her repeatedly until they killed her, and then went on a spending spree. Now, that did make the Memphis Commercial Appeal and the Fayette Falcon. And it was in the Fayette Falcon for a period of time because that's where the slaughter took place. But as far as a national issue, things like that are not national issue anymore, no matter how dastardly the act is. If you kill a white person, it's just a ho-hum event nowadays. Mm-hmm. And that was a perfect parallel to the James Byrd case, which so many people still remember because it was hammered into the head week after week after week. They drug this poor black guy behind the truck. Well, they did the same thing to Ms. Edwards, but that doesn't count. And certainly there was no hate crime involved.
Well, I think that they were all buddies. I think the black was a buddy with the two whites. They were all friends.
I didn't know there were any white people involved in the...
I'm talking about in the James Byrd killing. I think they were all friends. They were just all drunk.
The two men that were sentenced to death were white men.
Yeah, I know, but I think the victim, they were all buddies. They were just all boozed up.
Oh, yes, that's exactly right. They were on a drinking spree together, had been together for quite a while that night. Yes, that's true.
You know, y'all, my sister-in-law, my wife's sister was poor. She was her husband left her, and she was raising her child by her loan herself. And she went to an ATM machine, and she only had $20. Well, she was going to the ATM machine, and this black saw her. He went in the ATM machine with her, shot her right in the lungs. She bled to death on her own blood, choked to death. And you know what? That was in St. Francis in those days hospital. That was in 1993 or 4, right around there. And it was a black that shot her. And he was sentenced to life with no possibility of parole. Well, a just Jewish bleeding hearts, always a Jew, always Jews all the time. They got him out. He's out of prison now. He's been out for quite some time. He only did about 15 years in prison. So anytime you hear people getting sentenced to life in prison, it's a farce. It seldom ever happens. But continue on, Mr. Buddy. I just want to say, I have personal, that's our family has been affected by that. Continue on.
I thought with the James Byrd thing, the Ms. Barbara Edwards is perfect parallel, and notice the difference in treatment and all of that. One makes a national news, and the other one just makes it hardly, not even out of the county, hardly. So that's what we're faced with as far as finding out what's happening out there. And let me give you another case right here. This took place in 2017, and I was trying to find the exact location, a little town called Hardeeville. The man was a retired fire chief, was sitting in his truck in a parking lot in a shopping center. He just got in his truck. This black walked up to him, wanted the truck. And the guy said, well, you can't have it. And the chief started to drive away, and the black guy emptied his pistol into him, shot him 8 times, and killed him. When they went to trial, I don't know what the world the jury is made up of, but it took them less than 2 hours to find the black guy not guilty.
Oh, my God.
Now, the black guy even admitted shooting the chief, who was 77 years old.
Mm-mm-mm.
And I'd certainly like to see what the jury was, unless they had long tails and lots of fur on them. Anybody in their right mind, there's no way you could say not guilty when the shooter admitted it and the witnesses saw it and the chief is dead and they say not guilty. And
what, you know what he said?
The defense attorney, his big argument was, since the chief didn't allow the black guy to take his truck, he said the shooter felt that like he was in danger of something from this white guy just sitting in his own truck. And that was the basis of his article, of his defense. And letting this black guy go off scot-free.
Well, they need to reintroduce that what they used to have is you could only have a white male property owner in a jury, and I think the same thing should apply to voting.
Yes,
I agree.
Yeah.
You know what? I submit to you. Oh, go ahead, Mr. Buddy.
Well, I was going to say, on the flip side of that outrageous thing was the McMichael situation that took place a couple of years ago. And the original DA looked into that case where this black boy, Ahmed, ended up dead.
Yeah.
And he had been a suspect in some theft in the construction in the area. And the McMichaels, who both of them had been, and Gregory McMichael had been in law enforcement quite a while, and he was retired, and his son had spent some time in it. And when they saw this fella walking down the street one day coming out of one of the houses, they got in the truck and they wanted to talk to him. And they called 911 to get the police to come out and help him, or take over, actually. Well, while they were caught waiting on the 911 call, they kept following this black guy. And the McMichael's neighbor, as you remember, he saw what was happening. He got in his truck and started following with his phone camera and taking pictures. Well, it ends up about
We have to go to our last commercial break, Mr. Buddy. We'll be right back. Hold on to that thought, Mr. Buddy. People, we'll be right back, and we're going into our last segment of the second hour. So we'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio family, I hope y'all didn't get too bored the first hour. Like I say, all of our people were out tonight, every single co-host except Miss Nancy. She wasn't scheduled for the first hour, so I had to kind of shoot from the hip. You know, sometimes you have to do that in live radio. You never know what's going to happen, but I think we've got a great hour. And what we're trying to do, people, like Miss Nancy said, she wants to show people the whole purpose of the second hour is to show to tell you about the brutality, the incredible, animalistic, savage brutality of the majority of the black race. That's just fact. That's just the way it is. And their prison records you can get from any law enforcement agency proves that fact. The second point she and Mr. Buddy wanted to point out is the incredible unethical treatment, and that's saying it lightly, that white people get. The white people have no justice. A black can do anything under the sun. Mr. Buddy just told you an incident where this black came up, tried to get a man's truck. He wouldn't give it to him. He shot him 8 times with a pistol because he said he's scared. He's scared at a white honky. You know, he was afraid. He was intimidated. And that was his excuse. Oh, you're afraid? So, okay, kill this guy who's sitting in on his own truck. That happens, like Mr. Buddy said. It happens over and over and over. I'm going to tell you what. I bet you he wouldn't have had a lawyer. He could have brought one of his buds in off the hood and wouldn't even have to have a lawyer. He said, hey, man, we don't like that white cracker, and we just think he needs to be killed. Okay, well, he's not guilty then. If he thought that white cracker needed to be dead, that's so be it. But anyway, go back to you, Mr. Buddy.
Okay, well, listen, you know, I just want to point out some things. Like I said, McMichaels had been just following this guy. Now, if they had wanted to kill him, they could have done it. They followed him for over 5 minutes waiting for that 911 call to have a response. And something about this criminal they were following, and I say criminal because he had an established police record. He was seen frequently at this site where certain items had been stolen. His mother had had to call police on him because he was occasionally violent. He had a mental disease, some kind of schizophrenia or something. And when he was killed, he had some of that chemical or that medicine in him, which made him aggressive and volatile. Mm-hmm. And so as the McMichaels were waiting for the police to show up, the nigger runs around beside their truck. He could have kept going, but he didn't. He got to the front of the truck and made a left turn, charged in front of the truck over where Travis McMichael was. He charged Travis McMichael, and that's when they got in the fight over the shotgun that Travis had with him. And subsequently, this Ahmed guy ends up getting shot with a fatal shot. And he did attack. There's a 38-second video you can pull up. It shows this black guy running down the right side of the road on the right side of the truck. When he gets to the front, he turns to the left and charges Travis McMichael. Now, we ended up with a prosecutor who charged Travis and his father, who was still in the bed of the pickup truck and didn't do anything, plus their neighbor who was in another truck with nothing but a camera, the prosecutor charged all three of them with first-degree murder. That is sheer insanity. Now, they claim that, now, if this can be converted into first-degree murder, the prosecutor said, well, the man in the pickup truck with the camera was trying to box in Ahmed. Well, how can you box somebody in with one pickup truck out on an open road? It was just a rotten excuse. Anyway, the judge was just as guilty as anybody for this first-degree murder conviction because he actually had a moment of silence for this guy, Ahmed, during his court proceedings. And he stated in there, Ahmed was hunted down and shot. The video tells you that that is not true. That judge, his name is Walmsley, he needs to be disbarred and put in jail himself.
Absolutely.
The prosecutor was able to get three first-degree murder convictions against those white men. Now, that is unbelievable when one didn't have anything but a camera and never had any contact with the deceased. And not only that, just as soon as the ink was dry on that, they charged all three of them with a hate crime and got an instant conviction for that.
And, now, and Buddy, another thing, too, was all of the jury intimidation because of the protest that was going on outside of the courtroom. And the big blabbermouth blacks who were in sitting in there, Jackson and Sharpton, were actually in the courtroom. So the jury was very had to be intimidated. There's no doubt the jury was intimidated.
Well, you're exactly. Thanks for pointing that out. There was one of the lady, there were nine females in there. And one of them did admit she voted guilty because she was afraid of all the blacks in the courtroom and those outside who were armed, who had been patrolling around the courthouse and throughout the neighborhood. I mean, it was pure intimidation. And the fact that the judge would not allow change of venue at that point, plus his subsequent action on behalf of the prosecutor, that case should have been thrown out. And of course, as you know, Nancy, you're involved in it, and so is Eddie, and so am I, in trying to get these men a fair and honest trial. And let's keep working on it.
And, you know, Mrs. McMichael, who was on Blood River Radio some time ago, did a wonderful job of explaining a lot of the details about the things that were going on, even in the neighborhood. There were protests that created fear among her own neighbors, and her neighbors were afraid to take a stand on to benefit the McMichaels because the blacks were protesting and terrorizing the neighbors in the McMichaels neighborhood.
Well, that's exactly right because, you know, that sort of rioting outrage is taking place on the streets in all the big cities around the country today. It's mob rule.
Right.
Yes, it is.
Right.
Okay, well, listen, Eddie, thanks for having me on, and I'll hang up and be listening for any comments.
Thank you, Mr. Buddy. Thank you so much. I've got a quick minute. I've got to make an announcement. I forgot. I can't go up I was talking to my friend Jason Robb. Like he's like my son. They're having a Knights Council. In Harrison, Arkansas, in Zinc. Zinc's the town outside of Harrison. It's going to be September the 2nd, September the 3rd, and September the 4th. The theme there is going to be a new dawn, focusing on balkanization. So I forgot to announce that the first of the hour because we've been a little bit discouraged tonight. But, you know, his dad, Thomas Robb, is the, I don't know if he's called him the Grand Wizard, Grand Dragon, whatever. He's the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. They used to, Ku Klux Klan used to be, you know, we're talking about 80 years ago, all this black savagery that's going on right now, Sister Nancy, would not be a problem because the Klan would take care of business. They could do it in those days. But, you know, our Jew, these damn Jews has infiltrated, the FBI's infiltrated, and they bust up any paramilitary, parapolice or operations we had because, you know, the feds will never punish a Negro. So we had to take care of business ourselves. And at one time, that crap would never happen. But unfortunately, the Klan has been kind of defanged nowadays. And some people say for every time you go to a Klan meeting, there's half of them or FBI witnesses. But anyway, I wanted to make that announcement. If people would like to go up there, get in touch with me, and I'll tell you all the details. I can't go this year. But go ahead, Miss Nancy. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I think one thing that I was going to have Buddy talk about was the bodega, killing of the black who attacked the bodega worker. I don't think he was the owner in New York. And right away, they sent I guess he's Hispanic, to Rikers Island. And I guess they were going to charge him with murder because he had killed the black who was attempting maybe to kill him. And what Buddy and I were talking about is the DAs are black. And, of course, that particular DA was black, which many of them are. And, of course, he wanted to prosecute the Mexican or Hispanic because he'd killed a black. You know, this is another problem we're going to have in this country. Even though there's no doubt that this man feared for his life, that he was probably going to be next in the grave. But our problem, the white man's problem, is part of his DNA. It's really hard to escape our sympathy, empathy, and altruism, which comes with the package. I think we have a lot of it. It's already inherent. We're always sympathetic to the poor, the black, the underprivileged. And this creates a lot of problems for us because we need to defend ourselves. And that's something that we're not capable of in many cases. And it's just part of us. I think it's just the white man has it, and that is maybe going to be our ruination.
I think it's a flaw. You know, particularly the Millers on my side of the family, we have a propensity for out-of-control hypertension. It's genetic. It's my opinion that what you just described, is a lot of people will call it pathological altruism. I think it's an illness. It's a type of mental illness, and it's genetic among white people. And a lot of it is also environmental, because I remember a time in American society when it was not that way. We've always had our few nutcase bleeding hearts that loved their black mammy down the street more than they did their own mother. They would fight you to the death for some black trying to crime in your house and rape your children. They would fight you to the death if you tried to discipline that black. But it's always been in society. And there's only one way to deal with these people, and everybody knows what that is, just raw, merciless power. We're never going to have any justice in this country, never again, until we can completely get rid of the system we have. And another thing we have to do, if we're going to survive in this country, Miss Nancy, Sister Nancy, we have to figure out some way to get rid of the Jew. We have to get the Jew the hell out of our country. And I think we can maybe deal with the white cucks. I don't know. But, Miss Nancy, we've come to the complete end of this hour right here. And thank you so much for coming on and bailing me out, because all of my co-hosts were gone. The guests didn't call in. So we carried on the best we could. But you and Mr. Buddy did a great job, and I really appreciate that.
Well,
very informative. So I'll be contacting you again soon. Hey, call me. And I know we play phone tag a lot, but I'll be getting in touch with you. But so thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Buddy. And thank you, Cameron, very much, my son. And thank you, Blood River Radio audience, for keeping us on the air. Good night, everybody. Same time, same the time next week. It'll be the 6th of August. We'll do our first Charlottesville show. Good night, everybody.